yes, a powerful name it is, it is, it is. Well, good morning once again, church. Hang on right now. Thank you. Good to be up here once again. See some new faces, familiar faces, but faces nonetheless in the house. Today I want to briefly go through a message from the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, the third chapter. I'm going to read from the 23rd through the 24th verse. Colossians 3, 23 through 24. And it reads as thus, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Father God, we just come now looking for a word, an expectation and anticipation that you will use this time to move in our hearts and in our minds, to further show us deeper your purpose for us in our lives. So Lord, we receive the message now. We ask that you use it to edify your body. Lord, I ask now that you consecrate me now. By the power of your grace so divine, let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Jimmy Carter, ex-president Jimmy Carter, had a book that he calls Why Not the Best? Why not the best? And in it, he tells a story of when he was considering running for president, when he was going to people that he respected and trying to get their advice about whether he should, and if he should, how he should kind of handle it. And so one man that he went to, he respected very much, was Admiral Hyman Rickover, which he had met in his time when he served. And so he had his meeting with the admiral, and he's sitting down, and he's telling him what he's thinking, you know, that he's going to run. And the admiral says, "Well, how did you finish in your class?" He went to the Naval Academy. And Carter sticks out his chest, and he says, "Well, I finished 59th of 820. It's pretty good." And he thought the admiral would be impressed with this. The admiral just kind of sat there and looked, and he said, "Well, did you do your best?" And, you know, Carter wanted to just say, "Yes, yes, I did," but he remembered who he was talking to. And he knew that if he just said something nonchalant out of his mouth, that it would only gain more criticism. So he wanted to be honest, so he took a moment and reflected. Did he do his best? And as he honestly examined himself, he knew he hadn't. So he said, honestly, "No, I did not, sir." And the admiral simply said, "Why not?" And that kind of stuck with Carter. And he used that as the basis of his book, of why not? Why didn't he do his best? And why don't we do our best at things? Oh, several reasons, I'm sure. A lot of times we just don't love what we're doing. We just don't like it. Because if you love what you do, you end up doing what you love. So today we kind of want to look at how we can do our best at whatever it is that we do. And so quickly, I want to touch on three ways. The first is understanding that work matters. The second is questioning what's our intention. And finally, little slogan, a lot of work, a lot of love. So firstly, understanding that work does matter. See, in the scripture, we find Paul, and he's talking to the Colossians. And actually, in this particular scripture, he's addressing many matters of the household. He talks about husbands and wives. And he talks about the relationship of servants and their masters. And he's saying to the servants that they should do their work as if it's unto the Lord. Even if you don't like your master, maybe he's not a good master. Either way, you should work for them as if you're working for God himself. As if God is watching you. That what you're doing matters to God. Oh, that's a great challenge that he puts forth. And even for us today, maybe we don't see ourselves as slaves or servants necessarily, but we all serve some kind of master. Or if you don't think so, maybe because you're getting something in return, but we go to a job, we're accountable to somebody. If you're married, you're accountable to somebody. If you have kids, maybe you don't realize it, but you're serving a master. So in various parts of our lives, we find ourselves in this relationship of trying to do for someone else. Maybe even this idea of work. You say, well, I don't necessarily have to do good at work all the time, but we're always in a position of working. See, work simply means putting forth a sustained effort. That's all it means, putting forth a sustained effort. So obviously at jobs, we can see where that works. But even in our downtime, maybe you have a hobby, a craft that you work at. Simply putting in a light bulb. Just ask Chip and Jeffrey. It takes some work. It's an effort. Or maybe getting out of bed. We have to work at it. It takes effort to do these things. Even solving with our minds. It takes work. Math problems. Our budgets. Our marriage. All these things we go through, they take work. Life is work. It's a sustained effort. And yes, even trying to get it right takes work. And so Paul is challenging us, as God does, to work, but work with a purpose. Work as if it matters. My father used to always tell me, work like even when nobody's working, nobody's watching, work as if God is watching. Because those are the times we feel, oh, it doesn't really matter. Nobody's seeing it, who cares, right? Tree falls in the forest, what do they say? Does it really matter? Nobody's looking, who really cares? But that's our challenge. Because we believe in an omnipotent God. That means he's always watching. He's always aware. And it matters what we do, how we do it. And so that's kind of our challenge. Oh, I'm sure if no one cared about our taxes, if taxes were done on the honor system, I don't know how many of us would exactly claim exactly how much we made. We might fidget it a little bit. Maybe we have 10, 12 dependents. You never know. But someone is watching. God is watching us. It matters to him what we do and how we do it. And we should always be in this mind of working through, putting forth an effort in the things that we're doing. Yesterday we had our family fest and it was a joyful time, and I was running around doing stuff, talking to people, and making sure everything was good, and it seemed to go well. And there come a moment when I came in here, and one of the ladies who was at the yard sale, and she had things she was selling, and she kind of pulled me to the side, and we came in here, and no one was here, and we just sat down, and she gave me a shovel. She said, "You know, my father had this shovel, and I was going to sell it, but I thought maybe the church could use it, or you could use it." I thought, okay, that's fine. But she wanted to talk some more. And we started talking, and her face was bandaged up. And we just talked about her faith. And she said something to me. She said, "You know, I found out I had cancer in my jaw, and they're going to have to do surgery." And we prayed about it, and my pastor prayed over me, and I was healed. I was healed. But I still had to have my jaw half removed. And so it's bandaged up now, and it's healing. And she said something really profound to me. She said, "But even though I was healed, there's times we have to work through our healing." And so in her mind, what the Spirit had told her was she wasn't going to die from what had happened to her. And see, we may look at her and say, "Honey, you weren't healed. You're still suffering." But what she understood is that she was healed. But even in her healing, there was something she had to work through. There was an effort that she had to put forth. And now here I am, the pastor, and I'm supposed to give her a word of encouragement. And because of her situation, she said something that blessed me. I said, "That's how God works." And she was a very talkative person. You might have talked to her. She might have introduced herself to you. And I told her, I said, "God is using you in a powerful way. Because of your situation, you're not scared to talk about it. You're not scared to share. He is working through your healing. Because he's showing people how he works. In the midst of how life throws challenges at us when we don't know exactly what to do, God uses that to bless others. Using you as a blessing to show people how to work through their situation." And isn't that what we're all trying to do? Amen? So it matters. The work we do, how we approach it, all of that matters because of our intentions. We have to ask ourselves, what exactly is our intention? We want to get it done, but we want to have it done the right way. We want to get done quickly, efficiently, but it should be done with a sense of excellence. I was reminded this past week, talked to an old friend of mine, saw him on Facebook. I'm not even on Facebook that often. I promise. I know I'm on Facebook. We see the videos, but I rarely get a chance to really like scroll through and see what people are doing. And so I was sitting there. I was with my parents and kind of just spending time with them. And it took a moment, and I'm flipping through, and I saw an old friend of mine I hadn't seen in 10 years or so. And he has a family now, he's got little kids. And so I texted him and he called me and we started talking. And it was funny because he was telling some stories and we were both trying to kind of patch together what we remembered from that time. And he said something, he said, "You know, I don't always remember everything up until I met Sabrina," which was his wife. And I was like, "Yeah, isn't it true? All that time in New York, it just kind of all ran together until I came down here and got settled and met Kelly. And then I remember things very clearly." And it's interesting how that happens. That things can just rush by and fly by, even though in the moments they might have been tough, hard, working through. But there comes a point where things kind of crystal clear themselves. And for me and for him, it was when we had met someone in our lives that really mattered. And what happened after that had a lot of intention, much more purpose for us. Kids come. You have more purpose in what you're doing. You can't just willy-nilly buy things. Like when I was just, it was just me. I could do whatever I wanted. It didn't really matter as much. But my intentions changed. And when we change our intention, when we do something and we make it matter, when we realize that what I'm about to do has a significance, then the effort that goes into it has more importance. The Spirit kind of comes along with us along the journey. Not because to God all of a sudden realize it's important, but because we join in all of a sudden, because we realize how important our lives are. That's where God's trying to get us the whole time. Each breath we take, every thought we have, to God it matters. He's watching it. And he wants us to follow along with him. But we don't get it. We're still like little kids. Like our kids just do whatever. They don't really remember. They like one show 1 second, and then they on to the next thing. That's how we are in God's eyes. But if he's saying, if you understood, even if it doesn't seem like it matters to you, it does matter to me. So do it with an intention. Have a purpose behind it. And watch with that how the fleeting things seem to last forever. Oh, the old saying says, time flies when you're having fun. But if we make it with intention, we slow it down. There's a purpose behind it. Then it just matters so much more to us and to those who we involve along with it. I'm reminded this past Easter, there was so much preparation that went into it, especially for the band. We were here practicing. They usually practice once a week. We were practicing twice a week, going over the songs again and again. I had to take songs home with me and listen to them in my downtime. And there was so much prep, so much work that went into it. But this is what happened. The day of, when we had the service, it meant so much more. And isn't that how it happens? You think over your life, the things that you struggled with, that you really put your energy into, you really tried, things that really stretched you, that required a lot of your effort. But when you were done, when you did it, it was so much more fulfilling. You ever had that happen? Things that just come easy, the easy come, easy go. But it's those things that we really pour ourselves into. Those are the things that stick with us. So why don't we do that with everything? We say, oh, I just don't have the energy, Pastor. Come on now, I can't just put all my effort into everything all the time. Hey, I get it. But what if we did? What if we took the time, took a breath, and really gave ourselves to the moment, to the occasion? A lot of work requires a lot of love. See, if we love what we're doing, then that effort is not this word work in a negative connotation. It becomes a love of doing something. The effort turns from a struggle into a salvation. Then that thing we're doing, it doesn't drain us, but it fulfills us. Yeah, it takes the energy. We put the energy out, but what we receive in return is much more than what we've given. A lot of work, but it's a lot of love. So we have to learn to love those things we don't necessarily want to do. Oh, a couple of mornings ago, and Kelly might not want me to tell this story, but I'm going to tell it. We woke up one morning, as we do every morning, and the girls were up before us, as they usually are. And I got out of bed and I went into Elle's room, and she had made a collage on the wall. She's an artist. She had done some painting, finger painting, on the wall. Wouldn't be a big deal, but the material she decided to use was her poop. And so it came with another level of concern for me. Now, this wasn't necessarily the first time, but still in those moments, you go through a range of emotions. You're angry. You're sad. Then you just kind of laugh. What are you going to do? But it's in those things where you learn to just love it. Because this is my kid. God, you gave her to me. And so why don't I love everything she does? She didn't hurt anybody. She didn't mean no harm. And so I go through that with a joy, with a love. Why? Because the Spirit gives that to me. The Spirit helps me to understand that if I can go through this, what other things of life are really going to challenge me? And I have that attitude of bring it on, life. Bring those things on, those challenges that are already there waiting for me. Bring them on. Because what I'm going to do, I'm just going to kill them with kindness. I'm just going to wrap your arms around it, whatever it is. I'm going to love it as I go through it. Just as you gave that same Spirit to your Son. You put him in this world to suffer. You put him in this world to die. You put him in this world to go through an excruciating pain. And he learned to love it because he understood that this was what it was going to take for all of us to get through our lives. We have to learn to just love the effort. Because when we love that effort, then we become what Jesus was. We become a healer to the people we come across. When that negativity hits us and those who are coming at us with their negative attitudes and their ways of doing things, we just bounce it back with our love. And we are the healer to them. And we attract those kinds of people. Why? Because they need us. You're wondering, like, why does everybody come to me with their problems? I have enough of my own. It's because we are the ones who can take that, we can absorb that, and we can give it back out in a loving way. That's the Christ Spirit that we carry. So the work we do, it matters. The effort that we put forth, we should have an intention of giving back in love. Because that's how we transform everything that the world throws at us. You're feeling tired. You're feeling like there's not enough time in the day. You're feeling like, what else is God going to throw in my way now? Just say, bring it on. I got a lot of love to give. Got a whole lot of mo. I have to think of Rocky. Yes, that Rocky. And he was fighting Clubber Lang. You saw it, Rocky III, Big Mr. T. And his whole strategy got in there, and, you know, Mickey told him, Rocky's going to kill you. He's a wrecking machine. Rock said, yeah, I know, Mick, I know. But he went in there, and man starts beating him up. And he's just beating him down. And Rocky's just taking it, blow after blow, hit after hit. But he won't stay down. And the rounds go by, and Clubber Lang's looking at him like, why won't this man stay down? And it gets late in the rounds, and Clubber's getting tired. Arms getting wore out, because he's been throwing everything he has at Rock. And finally, at the end, Rocky's telling him, because he's getting tired, he's saying, hey, man, come on. Give me some more. Give me some more. I got a lot of more. I can take it. And he just wore him out. And finally, Rocky just boop, boop, boop. Couple of hits, and he went down. Now, I don't know if you've got what your Clubber Lang is in your life. I don't know what those things are that just don't stop coming at you. Just keep hitting you again and again. Even sometimes you think you've missed it. They didn't get me this time. Whatever it is, it may not go away, but it will stop hurting if we just learn to love it. If we use that power, that spirit that's inside of us, to take those blows and give it back in love, become the healers that God has called us to be. Amen. As the band comes forward, I challenge each and every one of us today. Think about those things in your life that are challenging, the things that we're not quite sure how to get through. We're just getting by, just making it. And let's take those things, and in learning to love them, give them more meaning. Make them more meaningful to us. The things we hate the most. Maybe it's a person. Take that thing and let's learn to love it. Kill it with kindness. And watch how God just heals it and turns that pain into a fulfillment that gives us strength and energy. Oh, what a powerful name he is. Everybody stand to your feet and just allow the music to wash over you. Allow the music to bless you. Allow the music to heal you. Whatever that thing is, we're going to give it to Jesus right now. Amen. Whatever it is in our lives we're struggling with, things that make us sometimes break down and just cry in our insides, we're going to give it to God right now. In Jesus' name, we're going to give it to him right now. And say, Lord, you are the healer. You are my provider. You are the one who can take all these things that I'm dealing with and make them go away. Turn that work into love. So I become the healing agent you've called me to be in this world. Right now, in Jesus' name. There is a one. He's calling you right now to him. Come forward and accept him as your Lord and Savior. If there is a one, he's calling you right now.